to experience personal rejection. To be abandoned by someone who is hard-hearted towards you, especially someone that you still love deeply, is likely the greatest pain that someone can feel. To love and not be loved in return. We all desire to be loved, to be accepted, and to know this kind of love that is loyal and is faithful. The kind of love that doesn't give up on us, that genuinely cares about us deeply. To be loved by someone who is committed to forgiving us and being kind to us, even in our brokenness. When someone loves us like this, and we know it's so undeserved, it is the greatest worth and love that any human heart can know. We can see a small picture of it in this kind of faithful love in a little old couple, been married since their early 20s or even earlier, and they've walked through life together faithfully, approaching their 60th or maybe even 70th wedding anniversary, still holding hands, walking slowly because they can't walk that fast anymore. And when a couple like this loves God and loves each other, they will weather many storms. They will ask for forgiveness more times than you can ever count. And they're still faithful. Faithful, committed, and loyal in their love. This kind of love is rare. Often couples who stay together for many of these years move apart, live their own lives out of hardness of heart. But genuine, faithful love is a work of God. It is challenging. It demands self-sacrifice and a commitment to God and to each other. And this morning, as we come back to Exodus 34, God is proclaiming to us that He is so much more in His love than is ever humanly possible. We will see that He is a God who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And the fact that He's abounding both in love and faithfulness settles my soul. It settles my heart. His love and faithfulness is not based on my performance. It's based on God and who He is. That He is steadfast in His love and He is faithful to His promise. God's love knows nothing of the human love that lacks steadfast loyalty. Like when a person wakes up one morning and says, "I don't love you anymore." No, God is steadfast in His love. When He declares to His children, "I love you with an everlasting love," He is faithful even when we are not. And when you put these two ideas together, steadfast love and faithfulness, we see that God is not only faithful, but He is faithful in His love. And He will not let us go. I love that old hymn, don't you? "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean's depths it flow may richer and fuller be." I was struck again this week how important our verses in Exodus 34 really are. That we hear them, that we meditate on them, that we would memorize and know them, and that we would find our worth and our security and our comfort in God's steadfast love. So would you pray with me, and then we'll look at His word together. Father, You are kind. O Lord, the great I Am, the God who is eternally present and self-existent and self-sufficient. You are absolute in your perfections, without changing, without improving or declining. You exercise your sovereign power for your sovereign purpose. You are absolute in your mercy, in your compassion, and in your grace. And we are loved as your beloved. You will be merciful and gracious to whom you will be merciful and gracious. We know that you are patient, you are long-suffering, you raise up those who will glorify you even if they don't know you. And you will draw those to yourself whom you've called, and you are patient with us as your children. You produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives for your glory. You are the potter, we are the clay. Have your way in us, Lord. You are complete in your goodness and your greatness. And I pray again this morning that you will reveal yourself in truth in your word. That we will see your steadfast love and faithfulness. We confess that your name is a name that is above every name. That you are the Lord, the one who is speaking and proclaiming your name, the Lord, the Lord. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Well, it comes to the time in the week where we check your memory verses to see how you're doing. I'm not sure if you've been working on it, but it is quite amazing. I find myself thinking about these verses at the craziest times during the week. But I would like to invite you to turn to Exodus 34, verse 6 to 9. And you can use your Bibles to help you out, but we want to declare these words together. Remember, God appears to Moses, as we've been seeing over all these weeks. And it isn't Moses' idea of who God is. It's God himself declaring who he is. So as you are able, let's say it together. Exodus 34, verse 6 to 9. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Well, we have a ways to go in this chapter. It will go a little quicker after this, but we are just finishing verse 6. And this morning we will consider two of these attributes because they come together, steadfast love and faithfulness. This is the fourth and the fifth attributes of God that we are studying. And these two ideas appear throughout the entire Old Testament. Steadfast love and faithfulness. And that's why it's so important we understand that God is faithful in his steadfast love. We hear often the description that God is a faithful God, that he is faithful to his covenants and to his promise, and he is to his people. But when I hear that God himself is declaring that he has a steadfast love, and God himself is declaring to his people, and I am faithful in it, I am so moved that he is faithful to me when I struggle to be faithful. It's like the picture of Hosea the prophet. that God called to marry a prostitute. Do you remember the word, that story? If you haven't ever read it, you need to find it in the Bible. It's in the book after the name of the prophet Hosea. And God told the prophet in advance, this is what's going to happen. God knew in advance that his people would be unfaithful. He said, find a wife of prostitution and marry her, and she will be unfaithful in her love. And yet, God called the prophet to buy her back out of prostitution a second time and to love her again with a faithful love as a wife. And the power of this image in the prophecy of Hosea reveals the truth of our own inability, that God was saying to Israel, you are so unfaithful, like a prostitute. You go after all of your loves. But even more in the book of Hosea, it is revealing God to us. That God is faithful to the unfaithful. He is steadfast, immovable in his love and faithfulness. Have you ever felt the love that I described at the beginning? That you don't deserve? Another person who knows your sin, who you have hurt so deeply. And they are gracious and loving. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the shame of your sin and failure before God? If you have trusted in the Lord and you are his child, then this morning God is proclaiming to you that his love is ever faithful. He loves us too much to keep us in our sin. As we sin in a self-destructive way, in our pride, and in all the different ways that we sin and find life and take for ourselves, in our greed, in our selfishness, and we do all these things against God in rebellion. He loves us too much to let us continue in that sin. But he redeems the unfaithful. And he is steadfast in his love when we are not. Jeremiah the prophet says the very same thing. He describes how Israel is going after all these other gods, all their lovers, and all the different ways they try to find life outside of God. And in chapter 30, verse 14, in an act of judgment, Jeremiah says to Israel, all your lovers have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. And then in the very next chapter, in chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord is still speaking. And the Lord declares, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Not just a love in eternity past and in the present, but an everlasting love to eternity. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you. This is our word. From Exodus 34, steadfast love, translated here as faithfulness. God's steadfast love and faithfulness is specifically for his people. These two ideas, the first one, steadfast love, is really one word in Hebrew. It is the word chesed, H-E-S-E-D in English. And you kind of pronounce it like you're clearing your throat. Chesed. Something like that. I probably did it wrong. Chesed. Chesed. I think that's it. It's a really hard word to define. Most of our Bibles translate it in all kinds of different ways. Our Old Testament professor in seminary said that there are some words in Hebrew that require a whole paragraph to explain or even a book. This is one of those words. It is a primary theme of God's revelation of himself to his people. Our English Bibles translate hesed as kindness, as love, as steadfast love, as loyalty, as favor, devotion, and even mercy. The second idea of faithfulness is much clearer. It's the Hebrew word emet. And it simply means trustworthy or even truth. What is true, what is absolutely trustworthy. It will not change. It's being faithful to what is true. And when you see these two words included together, chesed, which is God's steadfast love, and faithfulness, that is true. It is a true steadfast love. It is an unchanging love. It is God's enduring commitment to loyal love of his people. Chesed. He is chesed and emet. He acts in chesed and emet to his people. He acts in steadfast love and faithfulness. In Exodus 34, God is restating that he has united himself to his covenant people. Do you remember the context? God was up on the mountain with Moses, giving him the Ten Commandments and giving him instructions on how Israel is to worship. And meanwhile, Israel is in the valley worshiping the golden calf that they have made. And Moses comes down to the people and he intercedes for them, and God forgives them. And God says, I will not go up for you, but with you. But as Moses intercedes and prays for the people, we come to our verses. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful to his promise. What must it have meant to Moses that God declares that he will go with his sinful, broken people? That this is who he is. What does it mean to our hearts? What does it mean to you? Do you feel there's a sin that you've repented for a million times and God can't forgive? Do you feel caught in the grip of sin that is a private little thing, and though you hide it from others, you cannot hide it from God? Do you see and understand and believe that this is what God is? He is a faithful, steadfast in his love, faithful God who is redeeming his people. We can understand God by his absolute covenant faithfulness. No wonder Moses quickly bows his head to the earth and worships. He knows they don't deserve it. Moses himself expressed all his anger, and he said, they are stiff-necked. But he cries out to God on the basis of who God is. It's important for us to understand it in the covenant that God made, that God would keep his word even though Israel failed. But this word is not just a contract. It is not just a contract between two people. Chesed in the Bible is loyal love. It's a relationship between two people. It is actual love. It is actually teaching us that God loves you. He actually loves you. For many who've grown up in the church, it's, well, I just say the prayer, I'll go to the front at the altar during a crusade. Whatever I got to do, I just get it done and I'm going to heaven. No, God actually loves you. And he is steadfast, immovable, and faithful to redeem his people. We can see it in its use all the way through the Bible, and believe me, I wish we had time to go through it. David and Jonathan, probably one of the pictures of genuine, mutual, loving relationship that ought to move us in the Bible. This commitment they made to each other, and we see in a small way and understand the chesed of God by the love that they have for one another. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, Jonathan is becoming aware that he will never be king. Though he has the rightful heir or claim to his father's throne, Jonathan is beginning to realize that God has set apart David, the one he loves, to be king in his place. And he says in 1 Samuel 20, verse 13, "May the Lord be with you as he's been with my father." What Jonathan is saying is, may God be with you as you are the king and I am not. He loves sacrificially. What a beautiful picture of the opposite of his father Saul, who is so jealous. But Jonathan loves. Genuine brotherly love in the Bible. And then Jonathan makes this request. "If I am still alive," meaning if you are king and I am still alive, "show me the steadfast love of the Lord, the chesed of the Lord, that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love for my house forever. When the Lord cuts off every one of your enemies of David for the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. What a powerful word this is. We will come back to it next Sunday. I know our time is short with our AGM at the end of the service. But chesed is this steadfast, unfailing, loyal love of God for his people. David continues in faithfulness in 2 Samuel when he does become king. David the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the chesed of God to him, the kindness, the steadfast love of God to him?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lo Debar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you chesed, steadfast love, kindness, for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." What a beautiful picture of this faithful, continuous provision by David for the promise to a covenant that he had made with Jonathan. We find the very same thing in the book of Ruth. Amazingly, we see the brotherly love between these two men and their commitment, and we see this sisterly love between Ruth and Naomi. I actually would like to preach through the book of Ruth again, because I think the book of Ruth is about the chesed of the Lord. How God is expressing his loyal love to care for Ruth and Naomi, and his steadfast love and faithfulness is not just to Ruth and Naomi. It is to fulfill the covenant, the promise that there is a deliverer that is coming, that he would bring Jesus, the Messiah, in the line of Ruth and Boaz. that God is faithful to redeem his people. Three times it describes the love of God in this book. In chapter 1, verse 8, Naomi is trying to release her daughter-in-laws. Go return to your family after her own son died. I can't provide for you. And her blessing to them is, may the chesed of the Lord be with you. May the Lord show his steadfast love to you as she sacrificially gives and sends him away. And we know what Ruth says. Ruth responds with this incredible covenant of love. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, excuse me. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And may the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Here's this incredible covenant of love, described already as the kindness of God, the steadfast love of Lord that is now revealed personally between Ruth and Naomi. And then we come to chapter 2. And Ruth commits to Naomi this vow of love at the end of chapter 1. And then God provides for them both. And listen to Naomi's words in chapter 2, verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he, talking about Boaz, be blessed. Because God is using Boaz. May Boaz be blessed by the Lord whose chesed has not forsaken the living and the dead. She even sees this as God's steadfast love and his provision for her. In chapter 3, verse 10, Boaz does the same. He says, Ruth's acts of kindness, of chesed, of steadfast love to Naomi, and even to him, is the greatest evidence of love of all. And it's a picture of covenant faithfulness. He spreads his garment over her like the reference to what God does under his wings, finding refuge. The picture of loyal love and covenant faithfulness shows us what chesed really is. It appears 246 times in the Bible. And most of them, it's referring to God and his relationship with his people. It's like Jacob, who doesn't deserve God's kindness. A bit of a scoundrel, don't you think, Jacob, in the Bible? The verses that Kirk read for us this morning, and how many times he tried to trick his father-in-law in his deception all the way through Jacob's life. In the very next chapter, in Genesis 32, Jacob is now before his brother and he's fearful. And he's approaching his brother. And Jacob said, O God of my fathers, Abraham, and God of my father, Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. That God would do Jacob good. And then here is Jacob's prayer. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Here is the loving kindness of God, so undeserved. Our English Bibles sometimes will translate it as loving kindness, and they're focusing on the fact that chesed is not just an abstract feeling. It's not just the goodwill that is behind God's actions. It actually is to do chesed. That God is doing chesed for his people. He is acting practically on behalf of saving and forgiving and mercy and his actions towards his people. When the Bible says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, it is not just warm affection to one and the lack of it to the other. It is God's actual covenant faithfulness to Jacob. That he is acting to save and to redeem Jacob. And Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And God loves Israel as his people. And though they don't deserve it, I read the words in Numbers 14. Again, Israel, in a place of great sin and rebellion against God, in Numbers, they rebel against God and refuse to go up and take the promised land, and they reject Moses and God's leadership, and they say, we'll make our own leader who will take us back into slavery, into sin and bondage. Rebelling against God, and then Moses prays, and again, he intercedes, and he prays, please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love. Just as you've forgiven this people from Egypt until now, guess what? God is still acting towards you and me in faithful, steadfast love. Lamentations is the same. I wish I could read this entire chapter all the way through Lamentations chapter 3. It is the affliction of God and the punishment of God on his people Israel. That's why it's called Lamentations. They're lamenting over the sin of God's people all the way through their history. And the writer of Lamentations says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and brought me into darkness without light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He made my flesh and my skin waste away. He's broken my bones. He's besieged me with bitterness and tribulation. He's made me dwell in darkness like the dead. He has walked me about so I can't escape. He has made my chains heavy and shut out my prayer. He's blocked my ways. He's made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He's bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I've become a laughingstock of all people. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. My endurance has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. But then there is a change. And it's a simple prayer. Remember my affliction and my wanderings. Ah, confession. It's the wanderings that are the source of all this affliction. My soul continually remembers and is bowed down within me. And then the famous verses that we all know, that we just pull out of context. In the reality of who we are. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Dear church family, you who are here visiting as friends, we must know God as he reveals himself to us. We are not saved by our many great works. We are saved by God's mercy and his grace and his patience. And he is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Listen again, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hesed and Emmet. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will have hope in him. And this morning I simply want to invite you to place your hope fully on the God who is steadfast in his love and faithful. I have a whole list of scriptures from the Psalms. In the Psalms, the psalmist appealed to God on the basis of his steadfast love. Here, because of your steadfast love, hear my prayers and answer my prayers. Because according to your steadfast love, save and redeem and deliver and help and protect and forgive because of your unfailing love. Will you do this morning? Will you know God this way and cry out to him as he is? And in the unfaithfulness of our own hearts, we run to the faithful one. And the Lord passed before Moses, and he proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This alone is our hope. Let's pray. Father, hear our prayer in the shortest psalm of the Bible, Psalm 117. It says, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for, and here's the reason, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Father, hear our praise. Thank you that you love us, and to those you promise your faithfulness, you are faithful. That you call, you choose a people for your own possession, and you are faithful to them. Father, you are kind to reveal this to us. And like Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, and he affirmed in his prayer in 1 Kings 8, there is no God like you in the heavens above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Let it be true, Lord. Raise up your church and your people. We pray every Sunday, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. But we declare there is no God like you, keeping your covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all your heart. Draw us, renew us, restore us, revitalize your work in our hearts as your people for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.